So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. That's 2 Timothy verse 8. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to A Catholic Conversation. My name is John Catalano. I am a deacon in the Archdiocese of New York, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Frank Alasia, the legendary basketball player from St. John's. Frank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything's good. You know, we were chatting earlier about judging others and passing judgment. We thought that might be a good topic, but that led us right away to the idea of where we live in this world, and where we live is in the world of relativism, moral relativism, where there is no absolute truth, right? I mean, you have your truth, I have mine. It's all subjective. Each individual today decides for him or herself what's right, what's wrong, what's true. If you or I make a judgment about someone else's morality or behavior, you are intolerant. So what about this idea of don't impose your morality on me? What about this idea of tolerance, Frank?
Well, you go all the way back to, I think, a Pontius Pilate, right? He was the first moral relativist. Right. He asked to truth, what is truth? He belittled truth to truth himself. You know, we live in a society where people really want to be affirmed in their false beliefs. They don't want to be saved. They want to be affirmed. They want to be told they're okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. This is where, if you're not tolerant of bad behavior, you're viewed as being intolerant. But tolerance has its limits because it can lead to indifference, which Mother Teresa called the great evil. The question is the action right or wrong? We are called every day to make these calls. Not, it's okay if it doesn't affect me. That's not it. Use stealing, right, as an example. You know, I'm not judging a person who steals, because I don't know what's in their heart when they do it. But in that theory, you know, it's okay to steal unless they rob your house. Then it's a problem. I'm just saying the act is wrong. You know, am I forcing my beliefs on someone? I don't think so. I'm just calling the act wrong. And that's what we have to do all the time. But we hear, you know, the person's just following their conscience. You know, where do you come in on that?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's an easy example. Stealing, it seems to me, although there may be an example that doesn't match up with that. Don't impose your morality on me. I'm relying on my own conscience. But is the conscience formed in truth? Is it properly formed? And as far as truth is concerned, it's not dictated by the times, right? Truth doesn't evolve and change over time. We don't need to adapt to the current system because you have to have a new perspective on things, right?
Right. You look at Hitler, Stalin, Mao. They all followed their conscience, right? How'd that turn out? You know, I mean, Dostoevsky.
He
with a big one, yeah. He said, conscience without God is a horror.
Right.
And that's the truth. We are called to defend the truth. And who is that truth? Jesus, his teachings and his church that he passed down 2,000 years ago. You know,
well, you're right.
You want to stand up for what's true or deny the truth to appease somebody else like Pontius Pilate did? You know, we don't want to do that.
No, we have, you're right. We have a responsibility to evangelize alongside the people that we live with. And in the catechism, it says, in the ordinary circumstances of the world, we have to evangelize where we live. And sometimes we're not sure how to do it. And we don't want to impose ourselves on other people. But every day in our own lives, we have the opportunity to evangelize. First of all, we have to set an example. Are we ourselves living in a way that brings others to Christ?
Right. You have to be careful of that, right? Because you're judged on the yardstick that you use to judge. That's how you're going to be judged. So you have to, you know, you have to be careful.
And so when people see us, are we peaceful in storms, or are we hopeful during the pandemic, or are we despairing? No. We have to represent the right way to live, and then we have an opportunity to possibly step in and spread the news. But again, we have to be careful as we are accompanying our friends when the right time is to evangelize.
Right. You had the example of the friend of yours at work.
Work who's intimated to me that he was cheating on his wife with someone in the office, and he didn't feel very guilty about it. I'm not going to condone that. I'm not going to encourage it in any way. I guess my thought was to just kind of go along with him as a friend, walk with him, and wait for the opportunity. Because if you look, if someone asks you, Frank, what do you think I'm doing here? You can say, look, you're not doing the right thing. But right. In this case, I had to wait for the right opportunity for him to maybe complain about it, bring it up to me. And then I can say, look, you're going to hurt someone somewhere along the line, either yourself, your wife, this person. And that's the opportunity. We have to pray that we have these opportunities and that we take good advantage of them.
Right. A friend of mine, I was young on Wall Street, go out after work and, you know, guys would go out drinking after work, entertaining. And I had never had a mixed drink in my life. And I still haven't. For whatever reason, I just didn't like hard alcohol. So they're drinking and guys are ordering Jack Daniels. So I said to my friend, who's kind of like versed in this field, you know, drinking, he said to me, don't do that. You're going down the wrong road. And, you know, he was right. Like, he knew that would hurt me. And I appreciated that. I never forgot. I never did order it because...
You make me laugh. Never had a drink. Most people have one guardian angel. You got like five. Coach Lou, you got everybody around you looking out for you. That's why you're on the straight and narrow.
My father, another story, my father would take me after a game and point out like seven or eight things I did wrong, you know. Meanwhile, I had a pretty good – I thought I had
a 24 good. Points and nine assists. Yeah.
Whatever. You did this. You turned your head on defense. You didn't do this. You passed to the wrong guy here.
Right.
Now, what did he did it out of love. I mean, he did it out of love. He wasn't doing it to be critical. He wasn't doing it to be judgmental. He was right in what he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Today's society – we create like all these catchy slogans, right? And what they do is they create a slogan that nobody's going to be against and everybody's going to be for. Nobody knows what it means because it doesn't mean anything. Its crucial value is that it diverts your attention from the question that does mean something.
Right.
Do you support the policy? That's the one issue you're not allowed to talk about. You know, we talk about, you know, a woman's right to choose is a perfect example of that. Hey, nobody's going to be against it. Everybody's going to be for it. But what's the issue? The issue is life. You know, we have to defend life at all stages.
Yes. I mean, a Catholic moral.
Right.
Yeah, a Catholic moral vision is a good thing, right?
It
helps us to make sense out of life, that if God has created something, it is holy and good and therefore wrong to kill. And that leads us to virtue and lasting love and to friendship, and it encourages us to face the truth about ourselves.
Yeah,
so you're right.
People say, you know, I can't force my beliefs on someone else. So what you're saying is you're going to stand down and let them jam their false beliefs down your throat in the name of tolerance. No way. And that's what we're taught. My grandmother, you know, there's nothing really new out there. The truth doesn't change with the times, as we said. My grandmother would say, world is, world was, world will be. There's nothing new. People are doing the same wrong things. Like we talked before, it's like you got to be careful about moral perfection because, you know, man is fallen. Everybody has faults. But these are the this is a very important topic. And I thank Pope Benedict because he was the one who really brought it into focus during his papacy. He really spoke and woke everybody up about this. Moral relativism, you know.
But you know, we can't talk people into believing in God, or we can't win arguments with people. That's not how to do it. I go back to this point again, Frank. If we accompany our friends over time with prayer, we may be able to show them or lead them in a way toward a new way of thinking and living. But it takes time. Saint Augustine's mother, she didn't throw him out of the house. She prayed for him for 18 years, was it, until he came around. And it worked finally. So I just believe in this whole idea. We have to pray that we know the right time to intervene and that God will give us the right words to point someone in the right direction.
Amen.
That's it. All right. Yep. Listen, if you wish to comment, email us at john@jc.training. That's john@jc.training. Great talking to you as always, Frank. See you soon.
Yeah. Take care, Deacon.
God bless.